One of the things we're going to do then after the message this morning, after we minister, Jim Davis, our brother here, he has injured his shoulder. And it's a serious problem, but we're going to get this thing fixed. I don't want him to... I have no desire that he goes through what generally you have to go through to get these things and the periods of time it takes to do stuff. And if anything we know how to do is we can believe God. And our emphasis this morning is one of the things that we want to do is to pay attention, because we're going to agree on some things. And in our agreement, number one, we want to be in the place of faith to agree. It's one of the most important things. You know, Kenneth Hagin, I learned from him. He said this, and I always watched him in ministry. He said, many times people have problems and they want prayed for immediately. He said, unless God tells me to, he said, in a meeting, I don't operate, or he said, even if I know in promptings of what God wants to do, I don't do it till we minister the word. Why? Faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word. See, most people, I want my problem fixed, but your problem, if the faith level doesn't meet to what the problem is, you can pray all you want and it ain't getting fixed. The faith level must meet the measure of the problem that needs fixed. If you have $10 faith and you want $1,000, you can't believe for $1,000 because you don't have the faith level ain't there. You can't do that. You're going to have $1,000 faith. Well, healing's the same way. There's healing things that required, you know. There's things that I faced in life. I learned how to believe God for healing concerning headache. I'd get a headache and I'd stand against it. Well, then other things would come. I had to learn how to... Well, things were above that. I had to grab a hold of, but I learned how to do that. You start at a place. Is one thing. Headache, faith don't heal cancer. So you have to develop and build it. There's nothing wrong. That's just the way things are. It's the way they are in the natural, you know. You know, aspirin don't, you know, take an aspirin or you take a Tylenol, that don't cure cancer, does it? Might make your head feel a little bit better if you took one of them. But there's things on different levels that you have to go to. You want to deal with things. And so we need to know spiritually that we have to do that. And we're going to minister the word this morning. We're teaching, and I've been teaching on the name of Jesus and the glory, the power of that name. We're going to look this morning because in the book of Acts, I was going to the other week minister on this, but the Holy Ghost took a different direction and I just learned. And then the following week he did something else. But we're going back over to Acts, the third chapter. We're looking at a very familiar thing. I taught about this on the areas, dealing in the areas of healing. There's some certain specific things that we want to look at today. And our whole point is not just here today to minister to Jim, but for us all to see, for we can all rise to a higher level of faith. You must be able to do that. Now, to rise to that higher level, but we want to see some things concerning the name of Jesus. And I can't go back over all the scriptures and things that we did that concerning the name of Jesus, but we want to look here at an incident that took place and see some things, because one of the things that we understand this, that the name of Jesus, it has authority. In other words, the Lord told the disciples, he said, you go all in the world and preach the gospel. He said, you go out there and preach. He said, all authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. Now you go. In other words, I'm delegating you now to go. And he said, and he told them, we looked at the things that the scripture says would happen in his name. We'd cast out devils, lay hands on the sick. We, in the name of Jesus, we could speak in new tongues. It said all these things that the name of Jesus, those who believe in the name, these signs shall follow them who believe, the ones who, the believing ones. How many here today, you're a believing one? You believe in the name of Jesus. You believe. Well, then understand, you're in the position of qualifying. So what this is talking about, and we want to look this morning, because most people want a ministry, and you don't have to pray 2 seconds to find out what every believer is called to do. Every believer is called to do it. It isn't one, but you need to understand this. We're teaching in this area because most of the church world today, it is all on the pages of a book and it just stays there. Oh yeah, Jesus won. People never act on it. We don't act on the word. Understand, the knowledge that you have produces nothing unless it's put to work. It doesn't produce anything. Knowing what to do is a whole bit different than doing what you know to do. You must do what the information that you have, you must put it into practice for it to work. You have to do that. You know, the Lord dealing with me years ago about laying hands on the sick. He said, you know, you lay hands on the sick and pray. Don't you worry about whether they get healed or not. They have something to do with this. But he said to me, the power of God is always present to heal. The scripture tells us it does. God would never tell you to lay hands on the sick if the power of God wasn't present to heal. That's the stupidest thing in the world. I don't have to wait. I never wait for a feeling. I don't have to wait for a feeling. The power of God's presence. The power of God will manifest itself if you operate in faith. Well, if you don't operate in faith, then it won't manifest. So he told me, he said, you know, I must keep myself in the area of faith, and this is what you must too. You'll be benefit to nobody. You're trying to get somebody healed, get them to believe something when you don't. Many Christians are doing that. They're trying to get somebody else to get something they can't even get a hold of themselves. They can't. They're not in a position for it. You need to rise up on the inside of you that when you step up to bat, you know, you're the slugger. You know, every baseball team would have, you know, a guy or two who's a slugger. And they depend on those guys. You know, we need to know this. There's nobody on the bench in the church. We're all supposed to be sluggers. Everybody that gets up to bat's supposed to hit a home run. We need to, you know, the church where, well, you know, it's just not my calling. And say, let's get real. You're just saying it's your unbelief. Let's get it real to where it's at. You know, look, I deal myself in this way. And if you don't, you'll just stay backslidden. Making excuses why your unbelief is allowed to stay the way it is. I don't give myself an excuse. I just go to the Lord and say, Lord, forgive me. I need to change. Say, Lord, I've been praying. I've been going to the Lord. Lord, whatever needs to be done in me, let's get this thing working. There's things that I know that I'm not reaching into that I want to reach into. Lord, what is in me that's holding this thing back? Why am I not able to reach into that? No, we're so busy looking at the other guy that can't reach into something and don't realize we can't reach into half of what they do. And we think they've got a problem. Well, there that guy goes again. I'll tell you, the anointing comes, I start talking crazy. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Well, in Acts, the third chapter, we look at this thing here. Now, we need to know Acts, the third chapter, we're dealing with a lame man that gets healed. But you need to understand, this isn't something that just happened. If you go back to the second chapter, you find out it says they're entering into this chapter that the apostles have been doing signs and wonders and miracles. They've been doing this. So this is not something that just took place out of the ordinary and this is something, you know, unique. It's not. It's just this thing. And number one, this story takes up two chapters. You know, when you find out that in the scripture, anything that takes up a good amount of space, it means this. There's things you need to know that you ought to be looking at that often. Most Christians, they spend their entire Christianity looking at the obscure, trying to figure out the obscure. In anything that is any of importance and said a lot in the Bible, they know nothing about. Things that are talked a lot about, things that are said often, I know this. God's trying to get something across to my little pea brain up here. He's trying to, he brings it out often. You know, you take the healing ministry of Jesus. Talks about healing, 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 healing. And man, the church can't get off the Beatitudes. They got the stupidest attitude in the world. God's trying to heal him, and most of the knuckleheads in the church don't believe God wants to heal him anymore. He don't heal people anymore. The book's filled with healing, but let's ignore it. It's in there a lot, so we'll ignore that. Let's just go over and find this and spend all our time. Oh, the Lord's Prayer. Oh, my God. Does that ever change the world? I mean, my God. Sure enough, if you pray the Lord's Prayer, that'll change your life. We might as well admit it, folks. You know, dear God, if your prayer life goes only as far as the Lord's Prayer, you need to go home and be with Jesus. You need to leave now. We'll get the bus ready today. Oh, my. Hallelujah. Good preaching. See, I get meddling. I can't help it. I'm sorry. I'll tell you what. It just... We got to come out from under this rock that's been sitting on the church. This rock over time has been put on the church. There was a freedom back years ago that is not here today. There was a simplicity that people walked in and glory showed up that's left. And it's because all this intelligence in the Bible. Oh, we know all this stuff. Hallelujah. Now, we're going to read Acts, the third chapter. And starting in verse 1, it says, now Peter and John went together to the temple at the hour of prayer. It's the ninth hour. It says, a certain man lame from his mother's womb was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask for alms from those who entered the temple, who seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked for alms. And fixing his eyes on him with John, Peter said, look at us. So he gave them his attention, expecting to receive something from them. And Peter said, silver and gold I do not have, but what I do have I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. So he, leaping up, stood and walked and entered the temple with them, walking, leaping, praising God. Then they knew that it was he who sat begging alms at the gate Beautiful of the temple, and they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to them. And he said, now as the lame man who was healed held on to Peter and John, all the people ran together to them in the porch, which is called Solomon's, greatly amazed. It so that when Peter saw it, he responded to the people, men of Israel, he said, do not marvel at this, or why look so intently at us as though by our own power or godliness we have made this man walk? So we see this event here that takes place. I mean, just astounds everybody. Now, this isn't the first miracles and signs that have gone on in this city, but we find here at the temple, we know this for one thing. Jesus, at two different times we have from a scriptural basis, was in the temple. Who, when he went in, he cleared out the temple on two different occasions, went in and cleared out the money changer things. But there's one thing, religion will always set their tables up again. The religion will always come back and do the same thing. You know, Brother Hagin tried to do that years ago where the Midas touched it. He called ministers in to try to correct them on things they were doing concerning about following the things of finances. And they all just went right back and set their tables up again. They didn't quit. They quit dealing with what he told them they need to stop doing. He didn't pay no attention. I learned a long time ago, you know, religious people just go back and do what they do. If it works for them, they're going to do it. It's making me money. I don't care if it's right or wrong. I'm getting money. Now, see, we need to deal with these things. There's things that have to be. Well, this man sitting there, he's waiting for money. Peter and John came along, which are absolute truth. You don't need money to have a move of God. Peter didn't have any money. And he gave this guy something great. I want you to understand this. This is the whole thing that I want you to get a hold of. To change your life, you need to begin to think different. Is number one, we need in this earth, there's material things, food, shelter, we need clothing, we need things, money you need to have. You know, our cultures and how they run, you need to have them and those things. But you need to understand about what they are. They are not the true riches. They are not and never are the true riches. Never. Never are they the true riches. Peter and John had the true riches. Jesus has offered you the true riches. Most of the church world never accepts them. Never accepts the true riches. And see, we need to sit down and identify what we want and the true. Do you want the true riches? Do you really want what is the true riches? Do you really want these things? Well, it might cause you to have to sacrifice even some of your so-called what you think important riches to get the true riches. I found this out. Lots of times God would deal with me about things to get me to release things so he could take me to the place to get something better. It wasn't because he didn't want me to have the things, because then he turned around and gave me more things. But the whole point of it is, what he wanted me is to step over in that place. I want you to understand this. You will not know the anointing of God if you don't allow him to reach in to take things from you. You will never know the true riches. If he can't sit and touch your stuff, he's not going to be able to give you the good stuff. Because, see, he has to be able to reach out and touch the things you like. Well, there's a time that, I don't know about you, you know, I can sit here, you know, maybe you all just wonderful and don't have his problems, but I know about me. There's things we don't like touched. There's things that if it gets touched, it would be difficult for me. We say we want more. Let me tell you a story. And the Lord spoke to me last night about this story. I hadn't even thought about it. And really, we're going to be talking about the name of Jesus. We get there, but the Holy Ghost just keeps talking to me. Okay. But anyhow, there's an interesting thing that took place. Kenneth Hagin told a story one time, and this story has always had a hand on my heart. This story has always just really gripped me. He told a story about, he was, at the time he was pastoring a church, and a guy showed up, another minister showed up in town. This is back in Depression days. These were back in during the Depression, and there, he's down in Texas down there. He's in a little town, and he's pastoring a church. And I mean, it wasn't big money. I mean, in those days, if somebody made a dollar a day, they had a good job. They were a good job if you made a dollar a day. And there wasn't just a whole lot of money. It was really tough. But this minister shows up on a bus. He doesn't have his car. He can't afford a car. But he travels, goes by bus to the churches he ministers to. And he stops at Brother Hagin's church, and they're having a meeting. And I think it was like a Wednesday night meeting or something. And the man comes to the church, and the bus stops right out in front of the church and drops him off. And he goes and he comes in. And what Brother Hagin finds out is this man only had enough money to reach that town. He couldn't have enough money to go home. And he only had enough money to get to that town. So he took his bus as far as he could. And he came to the meeting. And he wasn't coming. He didn't come to ask anything or stuff like that. But anyhow, the Lord spoke to Kenneth Hagin and said to him, I want you to give him the money to get home. He told him personally, not the church, you give him the money to get home. And I'll never forget this. It was $12 and something. Now to us, we don't think like that sounds like anything. $12 was something was big money then. That was a lot of $12. If you had 12 bucks, you could do a lot of stuff in those days. People don't realize that. Today we talk about things as money, you know. And Brother Hagin said, man, he said, Lord, it's almost Christmas time and we have this money that we have for Christmas presents and stuff for the kids because we want the kids to have a good Christmas. And this is God coming, touching your stuff, folks. Now, I want you to understand because you listen, you're going to hear the whole story. And you'll understand why many people never get to the place where the glory really manifests through them. And why it won't. What has happened was, he said, we had to go home. He said, we started because he said, we didn't even have any dollar bills. Everything was changed. And he said, we had a jar that we used to drop money into. And he said, we pulled that jar out and started counting out. He said, we even had to go into the kids' piggy banks and get borrowed money from the kids to come up with $12 and some change for this man. And he said, I obeyed God and did it. He said, God said to do it. I'm going to obey him. And it's to me years ago when I heard that, I thought, God, I want to be able to do that. I just want to obey you. No matter what I think it's going to cost me, I want to obey you. And he went and took that money and he gave it to him. Some years passed and as time went on and passed on, Kenneth Hagin got called out of the pastoral ministry as he was called out in the field ministry. And God revealed to him later, and he ended up later stepping into the prophet's ministry. But he was at a meeting one night, and one night he's at a meeting, he's holding a meeting, and there's in this church, and they're holding revival meetings, and he's ministering there. During the day, he ministers and teaches on the subject of faith, and then at nighttime, they have more of a revival meeting, Holy Spirit meetings. We're allowing God to just do whatever he wants to do there and those things, and they would bring people. It was very common in those days at healing services and things. They would bring people from hospitals and things. And he said an ambulance came to the place and they brought a man out. And he was on a stretcher and they brought him in a stretcher and laid him down in front of the church. And he brought him in a stretcher and he said, this was like the last call for this man. If he didn't go and get healed, He might not even last the night. He's going to die. And they bring him up and lay him down on the front. And they bring the man in there, and he said he was ministering, and he said he's ministering the word and stuff, and he was going to minister to people, and he stopped. And he said, so the Holy Ghost came on him, and this is what came out of his mouth. Now, sometimes, see, this is the thing. Sometimes I know what he's talking about. Sometimes there's things come out of my mouth, and I thought, God, if I'd have known that was coming, I'd have never said that. And it came out of his mouth. You see this man down here? I'm going to walk down there and pray for him, and he's going to rise up and be totally healed. And if he's not, I'm a false prophet. Now, there's one thing you want to... You know when they want to have the hand of God on you when you do crazy things like that. You want to do that. But anyhow, he walked down, ministered to the man. The guy got right up off his stretcher, just totally healed, just completely healed. Got up off the stretcher, just completely well. Well, that's great. You know, it sort of turned the place loose a little bit and stuff. But later on that night, the Lord spoke to him and said to him, do you remember back... And telling back these years, he said, this minister that came to your church and I told you to give him the money to be able to get his way home, was it $12 and something? And he said, that had left my mind. He said, I didn't even remember that till the Lord said it. And he said, I said, the Lord, yeah, I remember that. He said, if you hadn't done that, you would have never done this tonight. You don't realize this. And there's a place that we need to come to and grow up to. There are people who don't get healed because of us. There are people who don't get delivered because we don't yield to God. If he hadn't done that, that man would have died. His obedience saved that man's life years ahead. We don't realize it. We look down the road and bypass and let things go. The Lord was bringing that to me and I said, Lord, guilty as charged. Dear Lord. See, we think, when we deal with Christianity, we think this is just about me. This is me and my walk. No, it's not. It's about the deliverance of other people. God's called us as something. And we let things go by and we don't walk with God. And we don't. That's always held on to my heart because I've always thought about it. God had planned getting that man ready years before so that could take place. God can see down the road. He was ready for down the road. I said, Lord, sometimes I ain't been ready for down the road, and neither have you been. Now, God's not throwing us under the bus. Thank God he ain't throwing. But we must awake. We can't let these things slide by us anymore. We can't. It's time to stop because the time is running out, and you will not be able to make a correction. Don't you believe these men? Oh, you can always turn it around. No, you can't. That's a lie from the pit of hell. Israel got to the point they couldn't turn around and went off into captivity. And they couldn't turn it around. We need to rise up on the inside and say, this thing is greater. God wants to bring glory through you. God wants to manifest glory through you. God wants to do something through you. He wants to be able to anoint you. He wants to put something. He doesn't want to just give you a little bit. He wants to give it all. So whatever he wants to do, you can walk and he can accomplish it through you. That's what he wants. Oh, we tack it on over here to the preacher. Yeah, the preacher. I'm going to tell you what. We need the word speaks to us as people. It isn't just the preacher. See, I got to work and prepare myself. There's people who need me to be repaired, who need you to be prepared. This move of God, you won't step into it if you aren't prepared. It won't happen. It won't just fall on you. And see, the reason we're saying this, because in your heart, you want something great. In your heart's crying for something bigger than you got. Well, you have a choice. You're going to go after that or stay with the status quo. If I want something bigger, there's things I'm going to have to lay down to have that. You're going to have to sit down and judge yourself. What's important in your life right now? What is important? What is important, a thing to go after? What if Peter and John would just messed around? Well, hey, I ain't going to go down there and hang out in that place there with them 120 people in that room. And I'm just, you know, man, we got things to do. I got to eat, you know. We got boats, guys. We can go fishing. They come out of that place prepared. They're ready. One miracle turns the lives of 5,000 people around. One miracle. What if they hadn't obeyed God and just went down there for the prayer of the ninth hour and said, "Ah, man, we've had a busy day. We've been doing a lot of ministry, and I just, you know." I've been going to the Lord. I've really been dealing with a lot. Lord, I want to be more sensitive in the realm of the Spirit. I want to be able to, because I want you need to understand this. God don't usually ever speak to me in a thundering voice. When He has, it hasn't been good. So I don't. If you want a thundering voice and you want to hear something, most of the time I just get intuitions of things. When I minister and I'm doing, most times I get intuition. It just comes up in me, it's intuition to do something. It's no big thing of like, oh, do this or do that. And when I step toward it, anointing comes. We always want the anointing and we'll go there. You're never going to go far if you have to do that. It'll mostly never work. See, God wants us over. We're sensitive. If He has to scream at Ed, it's because Ed's a knucklehead. If he has to yell all the time, if my wife has to yell at me all the time, she does sometimes, don't you, honey? You just, shut up, Ed. You know, it's just, well, you ain't going to have much of a relationship that's going to be like that. We don't want to have that. We want to come to the place where we're sensitive. And I said, Lord, my great desire, I want to be where I am sensitive to You. And now He started, I see, I've been talking to Him about this for a couple of weeks. And now, He's starting to deal with me. I get intuitions. I start to talk about it. He don't talk to me about it. And I thought, no, I've had the intuition. I'm going to follow that. And every time I'm hitting it. But what's, you know, I keep getting over and wanting a little bit more. Give me a little bit more, Lord. I like a little bit. And He don't. Why? I want to become sensitive on the inside. Sensitivity on the inside means getting quiet on the outside. This is why getting over and spending time with prayer. You need to get out of the busy here. You ain't going to get sensitive. I've been taking a lot of time. Now look, I know as pastor of the church and things, I'm supposed to spend time in prayer and seeking God and doing those things. But I've been doing from anywhere 5-6 hours a day. I've had days where I've done 8 hours of it at least. Where I spend in the Word and in prayer. I spend time in the Word. It's not studying for anything. It's me feeding myself, getting the Word in me and talking to God about the Word, talking to Him about what I'm reading and what I'm seeing and speaking to Him about Him and asking Him to reveal these things to me and spending that time. But you got to get over, because there's so much clutter in life. There's so much things that we go by that we think because we know the Bible that we, you know, that, oh, well, I can quote the Scripture. But is it really real to us? Listen here in this thing, because these people come. I really appreciate Peter's, his statement he made. He goes, why are you guys looking on us like we did this somehow by our power or our holiness or our godliness? You understand this. God doesn't move because you're godly. God moves because He's godly. One of the greatest falsities about the move of the Spirit of God, I taught for 5 years in a Bible school, and one of the classes that I taught was gifts of the Spirit. And the first thing that I did in the teaching in the opening of the class is to blow up the religious teachings about gifts and operations of the Holy Ghost. That if you get real spiritual, then God will manifest something through you. Well, that is not true. It's unscriptural. Now, the disciples, did they have, when they started off, how long were they born again before demonstrations of the Spirit started operating through them? The day of Pentecost came, they got filled with the Holy Ghost, and what a God demonstrated and manifested gifts through them. The book, if you go over and read the church at Corinth, Paul writes to them, and he tells them, I can't talk to you guys as spiritual, I got to talk to you guys as carnal. In other words, you're a bunch of carnal Christians. In other words, you're big babies. That's what you are. And he says, but you come behind and no gift. The gifts go with the baptism. The gifts go with the infilling of the Holy Spirit. That's their purpose. Now, if the gifts only operate because you get mature, personally, I don't think you'll ever get mature. We need manifestations of the Holy Ghost to get mature, folks. The church is so stupid and backwards. When we reach this great place, then God will use me. It's too late. He wants to use you as soon as He got you. But the church is taught, no. You got to reach this great epitome. If I can reach an epitome without Him, who needs me when He needs Him when I get there? So you got to get this religious nuttiness out of you. People teach it, but it's wrong. I got filled with the Holy Ghost as a baby Christian, and immediately gifts of the Spirit started operating through me. Well, I had a good teacher. He told me that we're supposed to. I didn't have one of these other guys to tell me that it wasn't supposed to happen until I got real spiritual. Thank God. Because the people who teach that never have it operate through them. Nobody ever gets spiritual enough. Nobody ever arrives at the place where the glory shows up. You know what? They don't realize they're preaching their own babyhood. They're telling you, I'm so dumb I can't get there, and I'm just telling you, you ain't getting there either. And I want to just tell you, you're already got there. It's what God does in the church. It's the working of God in the church. God told the church at Corinth concerning the use of tongues and interpretation and prophecy in the church to edify one another and to build each other up. You see, there's a need of giftings to do those things. What if God didn't anoint me to gift you to try to get you? What? Dear Lord, all we do doing down is just doing, you know, our little Christian Bible study reading thing, you know, just saying nice stuff and going home just as dumb as we were when we got there. It's like, we must have better. I need better. I need better. I must have better. And God has better. And see, we need to see who and what we are. What good is it to you to be seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus if it's not for you? If the glory is something that you're just trying to get to? No, we must have that glory in manifestation. It's just like revival. No great revival has ever happened where there hasn't been demonstrations of the Holy Ghost. None has ever taken place. There's always demonstrations and manifestations of the Spirit. They grip the hearts of men. They turn things. You know, the old revivalists of old, they used to use the term, healing's the dinner bell. And you ring that dinner bell, the sinners come. That's what did Jesus? Jesus constantly rang the dinner bell of healing. The church today are talking about being spiritual and all this kind of stuff, and they don't believe in the dinner bell. We can reach them without God now. And what we do is bring nothing but people into religion and just make them religious. I want them to introduce God. I want to ring the dinner bell and they come and say, that dumb guy no way could do what's going on. This is God. This is God at work. I know it's God, and we're going to go after God. We're not going to chase a man. We're going to chase after God. We want God. Hallelujah. So God's not going to use you because of your godliness. Aren't you glad of that? He ain't going to use you. And understand this, I have no power to heal. Now the power works through me. The power is available. But it ain't mine. Gifts of the Spirit aren't yours. Somebody will say, I have a certain gift. No, you don't. The Bible says clearly they operate as the Spirit wills. It says that. In other words, it don't operate at your will, so you don't have it. Nobody has certain gifts of the Spirit. You'll find ministers that sometimes they'll operate certain gifts. There's certain gifts that operate in me more often, but I can't just flip a switch and they work. Nobody has those gifts. But you can ready yourself and learn to be sensitive in the Spirit that God can use them and manifest. Many times people are waiting for God to just like overtake them and for it to happen. It doesn't go that way. It doesn't happen like that. So we don't have. You know, I've heard people are like, well, I have the gift of healing. Well, then just go out and heal everybody then if you got it. Because when the gift of healing is in operation, if it's the gift, the people always get healed. And if you pray for people that don't get healed, then that means this, you don't have the gift. What? Most of the time, majority of the time, I minister to people. I'm ministering by faith. And we're ministering in faith. And that is, hey, you learn how to operate in faith, you can have it all the time. I don't want to have to wait to have the gift in operation to get healed. I don't want to stay sick 2 years till the gift decides to take place. Or go chase some evangelist around the country and hope that maybe the gift will operate through him one time, and I'll just go 47 times and have him lay hands on my head till now I'm bald. I ain't got no more hair on my head. That didn't happen to Mike. Now, come on, guys. Don't look. So Mike has a lot of brains, and it just sort of pushes. There's a lot of hair there. But it just... Hallelujah. Darlene likes him. That's what counts. Hallelujah. I like him too. Glory to God. Hallelujah. You get to heaven, he won't be bald. Michael won't be bald. Hallelujah. He'll be decent looking again. Just kidding, Mike. I'm messing with you. What are the rest of you laughing about? I guess most of you ain't had a mirror lately, have you? Who you been looking at in the mirror, you people? Hallelujah! Praise God. God's good. But see, we want to operate, get over into that place where we're in operation, where we're sensitive to God. God can move through us, can demonstrate himself. We find here, Peter understood that. Peter makes this statement. Look at verse 16, because we're not going to get down through the things there that he preached there, but look what he says. And this is one thing, you need to understand, is because of the name of Jesus. It said, and in verse 16 said, and in his name, because they came and they got around. Why did this happen? He said, and in his name. He was talking about Jesus. In his name, or in the name of Jesus, he said, through faith in his name has made this man strong, whom you see and know. He said, yes, the faith which comes through him has given him this perfect soundness in the presence of you all. It's in his name, this name. He said, in other words, he didn't just say authority. He said the name actually had the power that did it. The name. He said the name did this. The name made this happen. See, this is why an emphasis of this. See, we've all been given the name. See, we're the whole church, we've been given the name of Jesus. Those who believe, what are they going to do? Cast out devils. In my name, they'll cast out devils. In my name, they'll speak in new tongues. In my name, if they pick up any serpent, it won't harm them. They drink anything, it ain't going to hurt. He said, they'll lay hands on the sick. What? In my name. In other words, the name, not is only the authority to do it, the power is in that name. That name will perform miracles. Demons bow to that name. That name. And see, we've treated that name, and we're trying to believe God to make things happen. Peter just simply said, hey, it was just faith in the name. Now, we know this. You need to get a hold of this. We know that that man didn't have any faith in the name. He wasn't believing. He was expecting cash in his pocket. That's what he was looking for. That's what he was out there for. But we know this. It took place. And what we need to get a hold of this, as I said before, we're trying to minister to people on our limited faith, expecting them to have faith. Peter came along and said, what if Peter would have had no faith in that name? What if Peter would have had just little faith in that name? See, it's number one, God can't, I learned this over time, God can't come to use me in areas where my faith is weak in, and he wants to use me when my faith is low. See, he couldn't use my faith to get it done. He'd have to demonstrate through the Spirit and a gift of the Spirit if he wanted to make it happen, because he couldn't do it. I learned this in this place, listening to teaching. Kenneth Hagin said about this. He got born again and he got filled with the Holy Ghost. But even when he was, before he got filled with the Holy Ghost, he was a pastor of a Baptist church. And being a pastor of this Baptist church, he believed in divine healing because God taught him how to have faith to be healed. And he was healed of four major things that were wrong with him that any one of them would have killed him. And he was a young boy, and the Lord taught him faith through the scriptures without any preacher. There wasn't no preacher believed it. that he had. And God taught a 16-year-old boy, and I would be ashamed to sit around and say, well, I just don't understand this faith stuff. I'd be ashamed to say such a thing. If a 16-year-old, I remember when I first heard him talk about 16-year-olds and raising him up from a dead, I said, Lord, I will never have a 16-year-old kid outdo me in faith. I'll never have that happen. My God, most 2-year-olds will do the church, outdo most of the church in faith. We think it's some great hard thing to get. Faith comes by hearing the word. You know this. You ain't ever listened to the word or you'd have faith. You ain't ever don't pay no attention. Faith comes. It comes by hearing the word of God. So I just made the decision. But anyhow, he said, when I got filled with the Holy Ghost and came over among the Pentecostals, he said, I found this out. He said, over in our Baptist church, we had more healings than they did. He said, we constantly had healing going on in our church, but he said the Pentecostals didn't, because he said the Pentecostals didn't know nothing about faith. He said they only ministered in healing when the gifts were in operation. He said, in our church, we didn't know, because he said, I wasn't filled with the Holy Ghost. We didn't have the gifts in operation. But he said, I used to teach faith, and I taught the people faith, and we could get people healed. And he said, we constantly got people healed. And he said, because he was really disappointed when he got among the Pentecostals. He thought they were just going to be, man, I'll tell you what, I've had some disappointments among the Spirit-filled people. See, we need to understand, we need to come to the place and grow up in the areas of faith and realize that we can minister, we can get the same things done by faith that a gift could bring to pass, but we can do it at any time we want it. We can do it at any time we please. We can hook up by faith. It's a problem. You know, where two agree is by touching anything they ask. He didn't say, well, at any certain time when the Holy Ghost wills this. See, we don't have to wait for none of that. But that's with the church. The church is waiting for the move of God, and God's waiting for the church to move. God's waiting for the church to move. Faith in this name, this wonderful name. This name has the power. Now, I want to read something to you here, because we're going to jump over to the fourth chapter. They arrested these guys because, you know, religious people don't want anybody else to do something they can't do, so because they're going to be against it. They would rather have people sick and die than get healed. Don't think I'm saying anything. I've heard ministers already, ministers in this town who are in churches and say, oh, they believe in Jesus and all this stuff. But they hate it when people get healed. And all they do is criticize the ministers. They talk about, you know, they call it, oh, these faith healers. Why? Is there unbelief healers? I mean, there are churches, that's what they are. They're unbelief healers. I want you to tell you what the Lord told me. He said they're unbelief healers because they have the nerve to say when their people get sick, we'll pray for you. And they have no faith at all that God's going to do anything for that person. And they are unbelief trying to heal people. And they criticize the people who can get it done. They judge those people based on what they think is good. God don't move through people because they're perfect. He moves through them because they have faith. And God demonstrates and manifests through sometimes, he has to manifest through the babies because the smart people are so stupid and are so full of their knowledge, God can't move through them. So he chooses a baby, and then these people who think they're brilliant step up and criticize the baby moving in the spirit. Been there, had that already. Oh, God would use me when I first started off as a young Christian. I thought people would be excited about it. I found out older Christians weren't excited at all. They were waiting at every time, at every turn, were waiting to throw a bucket of water on me, try to cool it down a little bit. You know, we don't want too much of a move of God. And I knew why. It made them look bad. All they had their spiritual excuses that they said is because they couldn't walk there. So what they do around and chase after everybody that can walk in something, they're chasing after them, trying to throw water on them. Oh, yeah. Hallelujah. Well, listen, they did to Jesus. Don't think it's going to be any different. You think if you get the anointing on you that everybody's going to love you? Get over it, man. You better get some spiritual in that area. You're going to receive more persecution than you ever thought. Oh, yeah. The greater the glory, the more persecution comes. Oh, there's a lot of people want things from God as long as it only comes their way. We're so worried about the container. I want to know what's on the inside. There's lots of things you don't receive that God wants to bring to you because all you do is look at the container. Woo! I like this guy better when he was, because he's not as rough-edged as that Pastor Ed is, you know. He talks sweet to me. Now, I never get nowhere, nothing ever happens, but I like him. He's the guy I want. He pets me and lets me stay the way I am and says it's all going to be all right while the truck runs right over top of me. But he's always there saying, I love you. I love you. Praise God. Okay, we'll go on to something else. Hallelujah. Anyhow, they got together. They got these guys out here the next day. Let's go to Acts, the fourth chapter. Fourth chapter says this, and it came to pass on the next day, the fifth verse, came to pass on the next day that their rulers, elders, scribes, as well as Annas, the high priest, Caiaphas and John and Alexander, and all those boys that thought they were really something, they all got together. These are the big boys in Jerusalem. And it says, and when they had set them in the midst, they asked. Now, I want you to understand. I read this, this story hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of times. I mean, I've taught on this, but here back about a month or so ago, I was going through this, and the Lord said to me, look what they said here. And he showed me something. See, we need to understand this. We read the word and go through things, but they believe something different than we believe today. Listen what they said. By what power, now they're asking about this guy being healed, by what power or by what name have you done this? They believed a name could do a miracle. I thought, dear Lord, the church don't even believe that. The church don't even believe that. I said, they believed that a name had the power to do that. They believe a name would bring it to pass. So I had to stop right there in camp and repent. I said, yeah, Lord, you're right. They believed that a name could accomplish that. The power of that name. They said, by what power did you do this? Or what name made that happen? I said, bad words. How many? I've never heard anybody preach about that or ever stop and say that. I've never heard anybody. I said, my God, they believed a name could do something. I said, they must have understood certain things that we don't understand today. There's things about power that we don't get, that we don't know. It's outside of our education. Well, I decided, you know, Lord, I don't know why they believed that way, but it must have been, it's the truth that's in the Bible, so I'm going to believe it that way, whether I understand it or not. I'm going to believe the name will do it. I'm going to believe. And then we have Peter comes along and says, then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, rulers of the people and elders of Israel, if this day we're judged for a good deed done to a helpless man, by what means he has been made well. Now that word made well there, see, we look and read made well. That's that word sozo. We see all the time, and I talked about before in teaching. That word sozo, lots of times is translated saved. And see, every time you got to break this habit you have of when you read the Bible and you see the word saved, you start thinking born again. No, that there made well is the word sozo. It's the same word. See, healing. The name of Jesus will heal you as much as it'll get you saved. See, we separate it today. We separate. See, I believe in God's salvation. Most of the church does not believe in the salvation of God. They believe in some salvation of God. They believe you can become a new creature. Okay, you get some of them don't even believe that. They don't even preach that. They just say, you can get forgiveness of sin. You get healing, you get deliverance. That's all in the name. This man, we have no reference here at this time, this man saved. He wasn't born again. He got healed. He was made well. Now look, he said, let it be known to you all and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, by him this man stands before you whole. How? It was through Jesus. Remember back. Remember back. See, this all fits and all fits in together. Remember. John. Gospel of John, 14th chapter. See, I was praying last night and saw myself preaching this. So I thought this morning I might get ready to preach this. We've already preached it. But God's going to keep coming back to it. He spoke to me. I'd been spending a lot of time in prayer talking to him about the move of the Spirit and things. And he told me I need to get over and get this into me. John, the 14th chapter, verses 12 through 14. He said this to me. This is a key to walking in my glory. This is a key. Now, this is what he said. You've heard it. Jesus said this. This is Jesus speaking. So if you have another opinion other than this, I don't want to hear it. I'm only interested in what Jesus had to say about it. I'm not interested in opinions or ideas. I'm only interested in what Jesus said because what Jesus said is enough. It's enough. Jesus said, most assuredly I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also. And greater works than these he will do because I go to the Father. What were Peter and him? See, he said it was faith in that name. Jesus, he said, what? He's a believer, isn't he? Peter's a believer. Peter, stand up. He's a believer. How did this get done? Jesus said, if you believe in me, the works that I do, you'll do also. Listen, he said, and whatever you ask in my name, that I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. Isn't this what took place here? Isn't this what happened here at this place? It's this revelation. Jesus gave them this revelation the night before he was crucified. He told them this. The works that I do, you're going to do them also in greater works. Why? Because I'm leaving to go to the Father. That's why it's going to happen. He said, what? Surely I say to you, what? I say, he who believes in me, as I asked in the beginning, how many of you are believers? Are you believers? Hallelujah. Well, then this is spoken to you. This is not for somebody else. This is not for some ministers. This is for all believers. Now, God wants you to get this today. God wants you to get this today. God wants you to get this today. See, the church doesn't want to do the ministry of Jesus, but wants the ministry of Jesus. we're looking at somebody else as the miracle worker. God had me get out, I have a book from Azusa Street. And this book I'd read a couple of times. And in the book, what it does, it tells the stories from the people who were actually in Azusa Street and how God used them and the stuff that had went on. And there's other things I've had. But the Lord said this to me. He said, you go get that book and read it. And I've been praying. So I got the book out and I started reading down through it. And I was talking to the Lord and I'd read stuff. And I was talking to the Lord because it talks about, you know, the miraculous. And the whole thing that you find out about that book is loads of the miracles that took place in Azusa Street didn't take place through ministers. Most of the miracles took place through just the Christians, people that weren't called to the ministry. The glory of God manifested through them. You see, they believed in these stupid verses here that we got, that the Spirit-filled people talk around, oh, yeah, it says we're going to do His work. We've been, people have been saying this 40 years, we're going to do His work, and they still ain't done them. It's why? Because it's still on the page. It's not in them. They have never come to the place to believe that God, this is what the Lord said to me, you need to take this thing over the first person. And he said, I want you to start saying it. And I want you to say, and so I just started saying, you know, I just say this, you know, I believe in Jesus, therefore I do the works that he does, and greater works than these I do, because he has gone to the Father. And whatever I ask him, he does it. So the Father's glorified in the Son. Whatever I ask Jesus to do in His name, Jesus does it. That's exactly what those scriptures says. That's what they're saying. Well, see, the church has not declared this stuff. We still have it on the page, the quote that Jesus made. We've never made it our quote. It's not our quote. It's still on the page, and it'll stay on the page. And the Lord said to me, you never got this in you. I said, guilty as charged. Guilty as, I could quote it, I could go around and say it, but it was never. And I said, now it's getting, boy, this thing's getting in me now. Every day I quote this thing. Every day I say this thing. Hallelujah. I do the works of Jesus. That's what I do. That's my nature. Hallelujah. That's what I've been called to. That's what I, not because I'm a pastor, not because I stand in a, every believer's called to it. You got a ministry, folks. You got a ministry. Now we know this. We had taught already the signs follow the word. The signs don't follow you. You pray for people too quick just because they ask to have prayer. We don't stop and speak the word so faith comes and we can minister to people and have demonstrations of the Spirit. No, we're just going to take it all and do it. I don't pray for people just because they ask me to pray. Man, over the years, I've had tons of people just going up and, oh, pray for me, pray for me, pray for me. And I say, well, you know, well, why would I pray for you? About what? Well, for this or that, the other thing. Well, I think you start to talk to them about, well, the word, what they're believing. They don't want to discuss it with you. Well, just pray for me. I don't make any. You can come and ask me to pray for you. I have no demand from you that I have to pray for you. I might pray for God, wake up that stupid head of yours. But other than that, say, God, dear Lord, shake him up. Make that pea roll around up there a little bit and move. It ain't moved in years. You know, maybe if it rolls from one side to the other, they'll get a thought. Hey, God had to rattle my pee around once in a while, get some thought going up there. Hallelujah. So, you know, it just, but we need to come to that. You know, our sister here was, said, you know, she wanted, you want to lay hands on. See, you want a ministry. Is that a ministry? Is that your ministry? Do you need any more than what Jesus said? Jesus called you to that. Jesus said you'd do his works. Could Jesus lie? Never. Never. Would he ever back up, get back from his word and say, you know what I just meant? I can't find any place in Scripture where he said, well, you know, that don't count. Never. It's never been said. No, these are your words. These aren't just my words. These are your words. That's what Jesus said. Jesus said, you will do his works. He didn't say this might happen, or it could. This will happen. Concerning his works, whatever you ask, he'll do it. Whatever you ask, he'll do it. See, we got to get it into us. We have to get it. You're not going to get it because you hear me preach it today. You can hear me preach it today and it excites you. But you got to get it off the page in you. You got to sit down and say, man, Jesus is talking to this boy. Jesus is talking to me. Jesus is saying these words to me. He's speaking specifically to me. See, I had to repent. I told him, I said, man, I walked around and quote those scriptures, but I said, Lord, you're right. See, this hour in the move of God, we must get these things in us. Concerning prayer, that even in prayer, whatever we ask the Father in his name. This is why prayers don't get answered. Because people don't really believe they're going to get answered. They don't believe, well, I can just go to the Father and ask him for anything concerning what he would really do it for me. It's because we don't make the scriptures ours. They're always nice things Jesus said on a page. But you need to understand the name. The name and faith in the name is not just the authority to ask, it's the power to bring it to pass. Faith in the name will bring it to pass. Just think about this. God gave the Father, gave Jesus Christ all the authority in heaven, earth, and under the earth. Now, in doing so, it's this, and you need to understand it, and this gets religious people upset. If the Father has authority concerning these things, then Jesus lied. He didn't get it. Jesus said, I have all the authority, and the Father has all the authority. No, he doesn't. The Father gave Jesus all the authority. So Jesus said this, whatever you ask the Father in my name, he'll give it to you. If the Father don't, the Father's disobeying the authority he gave to Jesus to use. The Father's in disobedience. He's the devil. The Father can't disobey in this thing. The Father's the one that set it in motion. The Father gave Jesus all authority in heaven and earth. And what was that purpose for? It was for the church. That right down here in this earth, we could call the shots. That in his name, he's the one that backs us up. In his name is the authority and the power to back up the church in anything it needs. His name and his authority will take anything. Anything under the curse of the law has to bow to that name. Anything that the devil has used to hold humanity, whatever it might be, must bow to that name of Jesus. It's been given to the church. Whatever we bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Just like Jesus said that. The one with all authority says, you know, you guys go, whatever you bind, Whatever you do, I'll back it up. Heaven's behind whatever you're standing against, and if you let it go, we'll let it go. If you let the devil run rampant, he gets to run rampant. Whatever you decide, whatever this person, whatever we decide. Loads of things has happened by our decisions. And we're saying, God, do something about it. And he says, why don't you? Why don't you stand up and say, devil, we ain't putting up with this no more. This is it. We're drawing the line. We're not going to have this. You can't run rampant. You're not allowed to do this. You've been given the name. This place of authority is so beyond the measure of what the church has been taught, we think it's heresy to speak it. Oh my God, I know there's people, if they go and listen to this one here, I'll tell you, they'll be writing things online about me. My God, the devil's crew will be out there. They go under the banner of knowing Jesus. But they live in darkness. They might be born again, but they live in darkness. They live under religious thinking. They're waiting for God, and that's why many of them, they believe, you know, we're just as a nation, we're finished. We ain't finished till Ed goes. I don't know about you, but he ain't finished till Ed goes. Devil's still going to have to bow. He can overrun whatever he wants, but he ain't overrunning me. To overrun me, he has to overrun the name of Jesus. That'll never happen. That'll never happen. He'll never overrun the name of Jesus. He can't do it. All of us can stand. That's why the name of the Lord is the strong tower. The righteous run in and are safe. The name of Jesus is my strong tower. I'm safe in the name. I'm safe. You're safe in the name. Hallelujah. Glory to God. We're in the strong tower, folks. Hallelujah. The righteous run in. Hallelujah. The righteous are in the strong tower. We're not trying to get it, trying to make it happen. The name of the Lord is the strong tower. We've been given the name. And we walked around and talked about all the weakness and all the, well, doing it. Well, you just can't. We don't know what we can do. We can do this, that, we can do that. No, I'm going to tell you that name which is above every name. At the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow. Of those beings in heaven, in the earth, and under the earth. Under the earth. The three worlds. The name of Jesus is the authority over the three worlds. The church, you know, we've been given the authority here concerning this world. This is all we have to take care of. This is the world we live in. And we've been handed and delegated the authority to operate here in this earth. This is our sphere. This is the place where the authority that Jesus Christ gave us. We have dominion over all the works of His hands. He's the Creator. We have dominion over all the works of His hands. And the church has let the devil have them. That's why the church gets over out the sideline concerning finances and all that stuff. Because they're out here trying to get it. They don't know it belongs to them. Trying here, working hard, trying to get stuff, trying to get the things, trying to get stuff. Man, I want to walk into power. I want to walk into power. Do you think the president's sitting around wondering what he's going to eat today? Do you think he has a concern? What we might be having for lunch? Do you think, why? You know, he's living over in a place of, in a sense, the kingship. He's living in that place and things will be supplied to him. Not the church. The church is a bunch of beggars. The church ain't nothing but a bunch of beggars. And they've taught. And it's a shame. They've been taught to be beggars. And the church is groveling around. And they've been given the name which is above every name. The church is trying to make ends meet. And Jesus has already made every end meet. He's already done it. And the church is supposed to step out in the glory. We think it's, you know, somebody gets healed over a little bit of a thing and we think it's bad. I said, Lord, I am so tired of the little bit. I said, I thank you for everything that can get done. But Lord God, if this is all we can do to the end, this is sickening. Lord, there's a greater glory. When I look at Azusa Street, I want you to think about this at Azusa Street. It's a mind-blowing thing. For 3.5 years, over 3.5 years actually, the glory cloud of God was in manifestation. It was not something people would see once in a while or somebody might see. Everybody, saint and sinner, would walk into the building and the glory cloud was in the building. They could see it. They could walk into it and walk through it. People talked about they'd lay on the floor because sometimes they said it would be like a fog on the floor. People would lay down just to breathe it in. The effect of that glory was so much that out of there, from a historical standpoint, of young kids and teenagers, is two young teenage boys ended up starting the Assemblies of God Church, came out of Azusa Street. When you look at the things of ministry that came out of John G. Lake went down to Azusa Street. My God, no wonder he went over to Africa. He went down there and hung out in that glory cloud. I'm going to tell you what, most churches, if a glory cloud moved in, they'd be trying to cast the devil out. Anything that don't fit their little religious beliefs and their little stuff, they don't know it. And I said to the Lord, Lord, we can't do without these things in these last days. William Seymour, and let me just tell you this, and it's good from a historical standpoint, you learn some things spiritually. William Seymour was a black man who became the preacher of that revival that God used that man that got that thing off. And I'll tell you why. I've never heard anybody ever say this, but it's what I know from God and how God works and what God does. I'll tell you why God used him. Charles Parham was really the guy back at the turn of the century. In fact, it was on the New Year's Eve of 1900. Charles Parham, and he's up in Topeka, Kansas. He had a school up there, and the Holy Ghost was poured out up there. They were seeking God to find out whether the baptism of the Holy Ghost was true or not. They were supposed to have it, found out they could. They could have it. And God moved really supernaturally. And Parham then moved and went down to Texas and opened up a school. And he opened up the school for the white boys. And there was a black man came in, and see, there was segregation. And he wasn't allowed in the room with the rest of them in the school to teach. But he got them, and his name was William Seymour. And William Seymour got them to allow him to sit at the door of the room, classroom, and leave the door open a little bit so he could hear. And that man, see, he didn't go and scream and yell and all upset because you guys ain't walking right towards your brother. He didn't do that. He was after something with God, and he got next to that door and he listened. And then he went on. God sent him down to Los Angeles. And the glory of God got poured out like has never been seen, even from the book of Acts. Greater works. Phenomenal works. Started by that man. It's his humility. He went down there. He was after God. Charles Parham and all those boys. Charles Parham, God started something through him. But God finished through that man who humbly sat at that door, who wanted God and would do anything he could to have more of God. Just let me sit by the door and listen. Just allow me to come. Because see, this is what the difference was. When Azusa Street was poured out, everybody of any kindred, tongue, or nation could come in the place. They didn't have that in the church. They had that. That's why God used that man. I know how God works. God used him and could pour out glory on him because he wanted God more than anything else, and he wasn't going to fight men or anything. Whatever he could do to get a hold of God, he did. And God poured the glory out. And I said, God, I want to be as humble as that man. I want to be as humble as I want to be like that man. Whatever I have to do to get a hold of the glory of God, I want to go after it till the glory falls. I want it. Oh, we want such comfort today. Azusa Street would have been the most uncomfortable church in the world. Let me tell you, Jesus was born in a stable, wasn't he? That's where Azusa Street took place, in a stable. It was a building that was a warehouse that had been a Methodist church, but had been turned into a barn. It was used. They had horses, goats, and everything else inside the thing, cattle. They had to go in and move manure out and everything. They got peach boxes and stuff, fruit boxes, that were from a grocery store nearby, and they used them, put them down, and put planks on them for people to see. In that place, see, today, we're waiting for our big halls and our big things and our big stuff. Then God will come. Look at our stuff. God's moved by men's hearts, not by their stuff. Heaven don't care about your stuff. It was a revelation Kenneth Hagin got. Gene Wilkerson, who was a prophet, prophesied to Kenneth Hagin years ago and said to him, you're going to have an encounter with the Lord and caught up to heaven and get a revelation. It's going to happen to you. He said he never said anything about it. It was some months later. He was caught up to heaven. And this was the revelation he got. His sister had died and went to heaven, and he had prayed concerning his sister, and he couldn't get his sister healed. And the reason was that she was had gotten healed before, but she had never done anything about her own faith. He got her healed one time on his faith. God wouldn't allow it a second time. He got up to heaven, and Jesus was standing there, and she was standing there talking to him. And she turned around and started talking to him, and he made mentions about certain things in the earth, and she said this to him, and this was the revelation. She said, oh, up here, we're not interested in what car you drive or how much money you got or whether you got a new suit or you don't have. They said, we have no interest in that whatsoever. Whew, my God. What are we doing down here? They said, what we know up here, we know whether you're walking with God or not. That's when the Lord told Samuel, I don't judge by outward appearance. I judge by the heart. I'm going to anoint the guy that got the heart for the anointing. I'm going to anoint the people who have the heart for it. Seymour had the heart for that anointing. Seymour used to take a peach box, and he would come out down to the crowd and sit and put a peach box over his head. And he would not take that peach box off till God spoke to him and told him what to do. They said sometimes it might have been for 10 minutes, sometimes for an hour. In other words, he didn't move till God said so. And they said this, you know, people used to ridicule, think, you know, he is weird, he's doing this stuff. See, there's minister today wouldn't show up because you had a peach box in your head and God told you to. Even though it would bring glory, they don't care. You know, it don't fit with my Mercedes. And, you know, it don't look good with my, you know, that we don't do the peach box thing here. I'll tell you what, God tells us to put a peach box, he's putting a peach box on his head. I have decided now, this is whatever we're going to do, whatever it is, if it be, you know, and really, God had him do that. But he wouldn't move till God told him what to do. And they said, all the miracles and stuff, loads of miracles would go on while he was sitting there. But they said it all changed. When he took that box off, they said a glory would come into that place. And they said the glory cloud would thicken and get bigger in the place. And they said he would walk up sometimes and a group of people would be sitting in wheelchairs. And he'd just say, in the name of Jesus, you're going to be healed. Get up and walk. And every one of them would get up and walk out of their wheelchairs. A man who had his shoulder, who on a job, had literally had his entire shoulder from up here and that arm was completely ripped off in an accident where he worked, came to the meeting. Parham come out and said to the man, spoke to the man about it. They asked him if he wanted to be healed, and he didn't really have nothing to be healed about. And Parham told him, said, your arm's going to grow out in the name of Jesus, grow out. There's people sit there and watch, and it's on record. The one guy who was standing beside him, it's on record, he said, I literally saw a bone start to come out of his shoulder. And he said, then flesh started moving around that bone and started working. And he said, we all stood there and watched till a perfectly formed arm came out on the man's hand. These things were on record of these things happening. There are records of these things that took place. That was not a big deal. Loads of things like that happened. They were commonplace. The power of God would be so strong in fall that Grand Central Station in Los Angeles, which was about a half a mile away, one day the power of God was so strong that people getting off the train would fall down in the platforms, and the platforms, the whole place is filled with people laid out all over the place, laying on their backs, speaking in tongues. And they said every time a train pulled in and people tried to get off the train, they all fell down and started speaking in other tongues. Now, I am saying these things, and this is not just for our pleasure. I want this. I don't want to just talk about the stories. I want this. William Seymour, 2010, prophesied that in about 100 years, there was going to be a move of God like Azusa Street, except it's going to be all over the place. Now, Charles Parham didn't know he prophesied that. Charles Parham ended up prophesying the exact same thing. In 1910, it ended. Folks, we're at the place to bring this thing in. God wants to bring this thing in. And it's not going to happen just coming to church on a Sunday morning. It's not going to happen. I'll tell you what, I am not letting this thing alone. I'm staying in the face of God till this thing comes. We must have it. See, I can see how over 1 billion people could be swept into the kingdom. Because this move is going to be a worldwide move. It's not going to be to one place. Do you think the devil is going to have the last say before the church goes? The old haggard church ain't gone. There's a giant leaving the earth. There's a giant leaving the earth. There's the glorious church. And it ain't some big weenie whip thing just trying to get by with a little cabin in the corner of Glory Land junk. But I tell you what, it's not going to happen unless we go after. I don't want it to pass me and it goes to somebody else. I don't want him to have to replace Ed because Ed won't go. Because Ed won't take the time to stop and say, you know, everybody else is doing all kinds of stuff. I ain't doing this stuff. I'm going after God. I'm sitting down and I'm going after God. I don't know what everybody else is doing, but I'm just going to have to stop. I'm just going to have to stop and just sit around. Because I read these things and I look at them, there's a glory. And there's people who need this glory. And if we let it go by, as long as we continue to let it go by, there's people being swept off to this earth without Christ. There's people not being healed and delivered. There's people not being set free. As long as we let these things go by. See, whether we like it or not, and I'm not pointing a finger at you, there's been a selfishness in the church. There's been a self-centeredness based on, we know, we're so smart, we just know so much. That's why you can understand I've been doing a lot of repenting. I want to be Charles Seymour. I want to have that spirit of that man. I want to walk in that. Where God means more than anything else. Where the demonstration of the Spirit means anything else. Jesus said we'll do his works. See, we're talking about going to minister to our brother. I want the works of Jesus. I want the manifestations. Why? I don't want some. We're the church. Shouldn't it work through us? Shouldn't it work through us? It's like the one Russian pastor said. He said, all you do is sit around and feed people all the time. Feed people. He said, what has it got you? What has it done? I said, nothing. I said, I've been telling them that for years. But, you know, I'm the guys, who are you? You don't have a big ministry. Only big ministers are right. Only big, you have a big crowd, then you're right. That's why Jesus can't get in today. He's in a big crowd, gosh, lots of times. But he's waiting to show up. He's waiting to show up for you and me. He'll do it for you. It's not for Ed. It's not for some big name guy. The works of Jesus. Jesus said, you'll do them. Oh my God, he said, you will. He looks at all of us. You could sit and go and look through all your inadequacies and everything else and just go off and be Mr. and Mrs. Unbelief if you want to. But Jesus said you do his works. I would think it would be, let's get a hold of this and say, you know what? I'll tell you what, this is my ministry. Hallelujah. When you sit down and look at Azusa Street, I mean, teenagers were out there just miracles, fantastic miracles happening through them. Demonstrations, manifestations of the Holy Ghost that most of you have never seen or heard of in your life. Demonstrations of the Spirit. They just thought you were supposed to do them. Today we make it some big deal. But we don't realize what we've done. The word people have, we have it, back in the 80s, we used to take the word out of the book. Remember, Mike? We'd take the word out of the book and it was ours. We were so stupid, we thought it was true. When I look back, it's amazing the things that God did with how little I knew. It amazes me. I think, woo, he was something. What he did in spite of me. What he did. Well, we just take the word and go act like it was true. And then what happened? It got closed back up in the book again. And we put it back in the book and started talking to people about all the knowledge we had. This is what knowledge does. The Bible says it puffs up. Knowledge don't make glory. Knowledge puffs up. Knowledge without youth will always puff you up and make you think you're something. You'll end up to be one of the scribes or a Pharisee. That's what you'll be. I don't want to go there. And you don't want to go there. That's why you're here, because you don't want to go there. You want something better. Well, I can't offer you better than what Jesus gave. I have nothing compared to what he's given you. There's nothing that I can give you. He gave it all to you. It's yours. He gave you the name, the authority to use the name, and that name is the power to back up everything that heaven has. Heaven is not limited in any way concerning what it can do in the earth, except from us, of what we will allow or not allow. We have been given an unlimited resource. Unlimited. The name. Woo! My. See, I can see these things, but still, inside of me, it's like, I know, man, I got to reach out. I got to get more about this. I got to pull that into me. See, I can see it. I can see it. But I got to get a hold of it more. I got to get it inside of me more. When it's not just, wow, that's a wonderful revelation. No, it must be my revelation. It's got to be me. It's something that's a part of me, of what I live and what I walk. That's what like men like John G. Lake and then. John G. Lake was a walking revelation. He was a walking revelation. Other men were reading the Bible. He was the Bible. He was the Bible in demonstration and the glory of God poured out on people. He was a revelation. And that's what Randall Greer, the Lord told him. There's two types of churches in America. There's the revelational church and there is the informational church. And he said the informational church is never going to do his will. It's the revelational church, the one where the Bible becomes them. This is me. Hallelujah. Those words on that page are what's inside of me, and it's what I am. Hallelujah. This is what I am, and this is what I do. When we come to God in prayer and we come with our hearts set that we're praying from the throne, we're not down here trying to get a hold of a God somewhere. We're not worshiping. We worship God. I worship God at His throne. I'm seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. I'm in the place of glory. I'm the place where the angels worship. Hallelujah. Oh, we're down here and say, oh, I tell you what, it's just so hard for me to worship today. Why don't you get on the throne? Get out of your stupid life. Step into glory. Hallelujah. Take your place at the throne. The place that you belong. Start talking to God from that position instead of the weakness of your flesh. Paul said, when I'm weak, that's when I'm strong. When you finally run out of you, that's the best thing that ever happened to your life. The quicker you can run out of you, the better you are. Too many people, they run for years and it's just them. They just keep it up and keep it up and keep it up for years and years and years. Paul said, you know, when I'm finished with me, that's the best thing that ever happens. Because now it's time for glory. Now it's time where now I got to trust God because I can't trust me. You know you can't trust you? Do you know you don't have the power to bring it to pass? You know you don't have the glory to bring it to pass? What a wonderful place when you come down and you sit down. See, I learned this. It's a good place to start there and try to be dumb and then have to finally get there. I've been dumb and had to finally get there. I've had to go through the stupid stuff and then try to finally get there where I'll finally trust and then it comes to pass. I don't want to go there. Don't you go there. Don't follow my pattern on that, okay? You follow the pattern. Just start right out when you go to God. Says, God, you know, I can't bring this to pass. I can't make it happen. I ain't going to try to make it happen. I'm trusting you to bring this to pass. Thank you. Glory to God. God, I'm so darn weak in this thing. I'm not even going to try to do anything. I know I'd mess it up, but glory to God, you're working it in me. You said I'm healed. I don't feel healed. My body keeps telling me, no, I'm not. My body keeps doing this. This is going, the doctor said this. This is happening. This is that. I don't even care anymore. I already know what the word says. Hallelujah. I'm weak. He's strong. Okay, that settled it. Hallelujah. The glory's working in me. The glory's in me. The same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead. The same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead. Yes, Lord. I want you to see this in Romans 8. Romans 8. We're going to pray for our brother. Hallelujah. But I want you to see this. In Romans, the 8th chapter. Just quote part of the scripture, but I want you to see this. Hallelujah. The revelation. Hallelujah. The revelation of God's always good, isn't it? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Listen in verse 10. Listen to this. See, I was going meditating on this last night, and the Spirit of God said, bring this up. He said, if Christ is in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. See, your body's dead in sin. Get over it. It's dead in sin. That's your body. It's dead in sin. That's why we're going to have to get a new one. Now listen to what he says. Now listen, verse 10. And if Christ is in you, the body's dead because of sin, he said, but the Spirit's life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to that stupid dead body. He's going to give life to your body. How does he do it? By the Spirit that's in you. That's how he does it. It's the Spirit that's in you. He don't do it by the flesh. The quickening and made alive can't be made by a doctor. This kind of life can't be made by a doctor. Can't offer you. The doctors can do certain things in the natural. Doctors don't minister in the spirit. They don't do spiritual things. Doctors don't have spiritual gifts of healing. Unless they get born again, filled with the Holy Ghost, and God might work through them, but they don't have that. I ain't knocking the doctors. The thing's in the physical, you know. I don't take my car to a garage because the guy, you know, he can turn around, and, you know, he speaks in tongues. A guy don't speak in tongues, but he's a great mechanic and treats me really well and does a lot of good things and takes care of my car real good. And I like him. But people say, well, you know, that's a God-given gift. No, it ain't. This guy worked a long time to learn how to be a good mechanic. Isn't that funny? All these people, they just have a gift. I remember, what's his name? The black guy who's a golfer, just won the Tiger Woods. I remember, you know, people said one time, talked to Tiger Woods and said, boy, you just have a natural gift. He said, it's amazing, this natural gift, all the work I have to do to learn how to play this thing, this natural gift. See, the church is full of ignorance. You got to work at things. You got to work at it. Now look, there's this Spirit, this wonderful Spirit. Gives you life to your mortal bodies, what through his Spirit that dwells in you. This is, therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh. In other words, quit spending all your time about your flesh. We're not debtors to the flesh. We're not debtors to the flesh. We're not debtors to the flesh. Your flesh dominates you. And if your flesh dominates you, I will guarantee you, you will have demonic problems. That's where the Satan comes. Over in the flesh. You live over in the flesh area. He will be there. He will be there. He'll be there doing the things. Hallelujah. Well, good preaching anyway. Well, we're not debtors to live. We're not debtors not to live according to the flesh. For if you live according to the flesh, you'll die. But by the Spirit, you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. How do you do it? You put it to death. By the Spirit, see, as many as are led, then he goes on with the Scripture. And what is the Scripture? For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. You can understand why divine healing don't work for people. Because most people are more tied to the flesh than they are the Spirit. They're more tied to the flesh. They're more tied to the fleshly side. They're more tied to the death side than the life side. You know, we have the diet church today and they're eating the right thing. They don't realize, get over, the flesh becomes everything. It's the words that brings life. The word brings life. The spirit that brings life. See, we got to get over into things. We got to get over in this area because we got to step to the divine. You know, in Azusa Street, they never sent one person to a doctor. I'm not against doctors, but I'd rather have Azusa Street than the doctor. The church today in America would much rather have the doctor. Because why? It's easier on my flesh. My flesh don't have to work at anything then. It has to. We got to do everything we can to comfort my flesh. Because if my flesh is not comforted, I'm not happy. Somebody play the hand on this poor preacher's head. I'm just kidding. Folks, the things I'm speaking, it's not criticism, it's the truth. If we don't deal with this, I have to deal with this with me. I'm not talking to you about something I don't deal with me on. I deal with the same things. We're going to have to do something about it. If you don't have a dissatisfaction in you today, I hope I put one in you. That was my point. I want you to be so dissatisfied that you're going to have something better, that you'll just throw down whatever it is you've been happy with and say, no, I got to have what God's given. I got to have this. I must have this. I got to do it. Now, I'm going to tell you what, your satisfaction is going to stay tied to whatever you put your time into. Now, you have jobs and you got to go to work, and that's what you do. But I'll tell you what, I don't believe in this, and God don't believe in any of this at all. He don't believe you're too busy. He don't believe that at all. I'm amazed how much time I can spend in prayer. And I thought before I couldn't spend this. I didn't have this time to spend. I have other stuff to do. And I found out I'm doing the other stuff and being able to spend. I found out I wasn't near as busy as I thought I was. It just depends. What do you want to be good at? What do you want to be good at? I want to be good at carrying the glory of God. I want to be good at seeing the sick healed, the lame walk, the blind see. The lost come to Jesus. That's what I want to see. I'm leaving this earth. I'm not building bigger barns. I ain't building bigger barns. I'm leaving. I'm gone. And I'm going to tell you, if we ain't going to have a move of God, I don't even want to be here. Let's leave tomorrow. I mean, I just don't even want to be here. But we must have this. And see, I believe we can. Let's stand to our feet. I know it went long. Hallelujah. But see, the Holy Ghost has a lot. I'm going to tell you, there's a lot of things that could be said, a lot of things. But gripping us, God wants to get a hold of our hearts. He wants to change you to make you into something. Make you into something so glorious, so wonderful. So glorious and so wonderful. I'm going to ask my brother Jim to come down. Jim, if you want to come down. We want to pray. If Shelly wants to come with you, she can. You come on down with Jim. Now we're going to pray. And the Lord gave me some. Just stand here in front of me. But we're going to do that. Now we're the body of Christ. We're talking about believing together. See, I'm a true believer in this. You know, when one part of the body hurts, we all do. If you don't sense that within yourself, you see, my desire for Jim or anybody else here to be well, I want Jim well just as much as I want to be well. And see, we as the church, I believe it many times that we could have reached into things that maybe even people didn't themselves have faith for, but we could have taken a hold of it together, you know, and we could have taken a hold of it and pulled some things in, but we've been mostly interested in our own problems. And I've learned this over the years, that when I would take an interest in what God was interested in, lots of times my problems got fixed. And I see people many times, they spend years praying about certain things. They never come to pass because their whole focus in life is on their problems and their things instead of looking at others. You know, when you start seeing others, it's just like the Lord told me, you know, to go down on Friday to the with the Russian ministers there. And when I sit down and listen to some of those Russian ministers, you know, talking about what they're going through, and I thought, Ed, you just need to shut up, bud. It's like it starts putting into perspective of things. We here in America have a bad perspective about life as Christians because we know very little about suffering and going through things and going. We know very little. What we suffer is usually by our own hands of our unbelief and our willingness to not deal with things. I'm not criticizing anybody. God's been dealing with me about me. And I look and I think, you know, I ain't the only guy in the camp. So, but what we want here, we want our brother. He has an injured shoulder. And which one, this one here, this shoulder, what you have, what, three ligaments that are completely torn in there are?
Three out of four.
They're messed up. Yes, they're messed up.
That's what they say.
But we want to believe God together with him. I want to read, the Lord gave me this last night because of ministering to you. We could do many things, but the Lord gave me scripture to bring to you for your benefit. And I want to minister this to you. I'm going to read a scripture, and we're going to read it from the Amplified Bible. And I went and put it on, I have it here so I can, because I wanted to put this down. because it is said so wonderfully through the Amplified Bible. And I want us to get a hold of this as we're agreeing together. The Bible tells us if two agree as by touching anything they ask, it shall be done to them of my Father which is in heaven. Now, and Jesus, you know, went on to say about the fact is if in our agreement, he is in the midst. Well, how is he in the midst? In his name. That's how he gets in the midst. See, when we pray and what we ask in his name, we have the authority. He's given us the authority to pray for our brother, to minister. But he's also, the name is the power to minister to him. But I want you to see this as we look as believers concerning the word of God. James wrote this in James, the fifth chapter. And I'm going to read from the Amplified Bible. They have a new Amplified Bible now, and they've taken this verse and they've done a terrible job with it. They're so good in the original Amplified Bible. In verse 16, he makes this statement. He says, confess to one another, therefore, your faults. He said, your slips, your false steps, your offenses, your sins. And he said, and pray also for one another. Now, remember Jesus said in Mark 11:24, he talks about the prayer of faith. And he said, now, if you have something against your brother, you get that fixed out and you come back. This is what he's talking about. He ain't talking about going around and telling everybody, where you messed up. You don't need to tell everybody. But if you have a fault or something with you, something needs to be cleared, he said, do this. But now listen to what he says. He went along, he said, the purpose, why do we do that for one? He said, that you may be healed and restored to a spiritual tone of mind and heart. Then he says this, the earnest, heartfelt, continued prayer of a righteous man makes tremendous power available, dynamic in its working. Ooh, I like that. The power. See, it must be so. Jesus said that anything that we prayed to the Father in his name, God would do it. In other words, if we act in line with the word, the power of heaven is behind it. Tremendous power. Now listen what he says, now because we need to get this. Well, you know what, I'm spiritual enough. James went on to write and say, Elijah was a man being with a nature such as we have, with feelings, affections, and a constitution like ours. Ooh, I wonder about my constitution sometimes. And he said, and he prayed earnestly for it not to rain, and no rain fell on the earth for 3 years and 6 months. Now, a guy just like, he said, he's a guy like, he was just as human as you are. But he prayed, so he believed God. He stopped rain on the earth. Now, we think, ain't that something? God's trying to tell us here, it ain't no big deal. We think that stuff's big deal. That's why we haven't walked in it, because we thought that was a big deal. James is writing like, this ain't no big deal. That's what he said. And then he prayed again, and the heavens supplied rain, and the land produced its crop as usual. See, we want a crop of healing. That's what we're shooting for here. This is what the crop we're shooting at today. That's what we want. We want to produce that. But we find out this is what the prayer of the righteous person. See, we've been made, I've been teaching in the areas of faith. We're the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. We're the people that can pray like us. We can make this tremendous power available. We can do this. This is what we are. This is what we've been designed to do. See, as a church, that's what the whole point of believers pulling together in the same direction, pulling together, taking the righteous people can stand up. Whatever we bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever we loosed on earth will be loosed in heaven. Hallelujah. I don't know about you, that's good news. Elijah can stop rain. Jesus said in his name, we can heal the sick. We can cast out devils. Hallelujah. If that name would raise up a man who's been lame, you read it, for 40 years that guy had been lame. He was born lame. And the name of Jesus in an instant raised him up. Hallelujah. See, the healing of God is present here today. We're not trying to get it here. It's here. It belongs to every one of us here. Health and life. The same spirit that raised Jesus from the dead's in you. The same spirit that raised Jesus from the dead's in you. See, we're ministering life to this mortal body. This death-doomed body thinks it got something in charge, but it don't know about the church. Hallelujah. We're going to tell this death-doomed body it's going to have to respond to the glory of God that's in the church. Hallelujah. This body is going to have to come to life, and it will. If we minister life to it, life will work in this body. It has to. It has to. That's why the Lord said to me, he said, when you lay hands on people, the power of God's always there to heal. It's always there to heal. If they'll receive it, it's all. See, all you got to do is receive it. That's all. Hallelujah. That's it. We don't try to make it happen. We don't have to have a feeling. Isn't that wonderful? You don't need a feeling. Hallelujah. We just believe that the word's true. See, there's anointing on me to measure. But you know, I don't have an anointing right on me, a healing anointing right on me. But I'll tell you what, I know this. The healing power is just as great on me as if anointing was on me. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And see, we're going to agree together. See, our brother needs to be well. I don't want him 8-10 months or whatever working through some kind of thing what people have to go through with this kind of stuff. We can't have that. Jesus Christ needs to be glorified. Jesus said we would do his work. It is so the Father is glorified in the Son. We want Jesus to be glorified through us, don't we? Yes, saying, not what we did. No, it's what he did. It's what he does. Hallelujah. Like Kenneth Hagin said, I can't heal a gnat's eyeball. I don't heal him. Hallelujah. But he will. He said he would. He can't lie. Hallelujah. So let's just agree by faith right here today in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. We're agreeing. The healing power of God is working, restoring this thing completely in the name of Jesus Christ. We don't want, you know, I don't want some, you know, months and months and months on end. Hallelujah. We want the glory of God revealed in him today. Father, I am so glad that we can stand here with our brother today. I am so glad, Lord God. Lord, we're not approaching you based on something, Lord God, that we would like to have. My brother has a covenant with you in the blood of Jesus Christ. He's a born-again child of God. So Jesus, we know this, that Lord, in the Lord God, concerning the cross and through your death, burial, and resurrection, you took his infirmities. Lord God, you knew concerning this infirmity. Lord, you didn't leave this one off the record of the books. Lord God, this is not something that isn't covered under the covenant. I thank you, Lord God, it's all covered under the covenant. And I thank you, Lord, and we're just agreeing with my brother right now, for the power of God, the quickening of the Holy Spirit right now in the name of Jesus, working in this shoulder right now in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. I thank you, Lord God, miraculously right now. A miracle, Lord God, right now. Lord God, things are working on the inside of him right now in the name of Jesus Christ. In the name of Jesus, Lord God. Those things that are torn, they're being put back together in the name of Jesus. Lord God, things are working in him, Lord God, in the name of Jesus Christ. Lord God, where the body's weak, the body's strong now in the name of Jesus. And we thank you, Lord God. I thank you, Lord God, not a partial recovery. We're not looking for any such thing. Lord God, we don't want Jim to get by. Lord God, I want him to be as strong or stronger than he was. Hallelujah. Before, Lord God, full of the strength of God in him, that Spirit working mightily in him in the name of Jesus. So, Lord God, we thank you. We believe Jesus Christ has healed our brother in the name of Jesus. In that name of Jesus. It's done. It's completed in Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is being glorified. The Father is being glorified and magnified. Lord Jesus, you said that we would do your works. Hallelujah. That if we ask, you would do it. And so you're doing it in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Lord, thank you. Hallelujah. Now let's thank God that it's done. Let's thank God. Thank you, Lord God, for healing our brother. Thank you, Lord God, for healing our brother. Thank you, Lord God, for restoring him completely in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord God. I appreciate so much your love and great concern for him in Jesus' name. Lord God, your personal care for him, Lord God. Hallelujah. Lord God, I want to thank you that every anxiety or fear or worry leaves him in the name of Jesus. Lord God, that he's at peace, that he's at rest in the name of Jesus. And we thank you, Lord God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Father, I pray for Shelley in the name of Jesus. Lord God, I thank you. I thank you. You're working in her, working her, Lord God. Lord, it seems that there's been a lot of pressure, and surely with this is on her concerning things. But I thank you, Lord God, there's grace working on her right now in the name of Jesus Christ. I want to thank you, Lord, for comfort and peace to her in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Satan, I come against you in the name of Jesus Christ and command you to let her alone. And those, you quit speaking to her because you have nothing to do with this. She belongs to Jesus. And we plead the blood over her mind right now in the name of Jesus for peace and rest in the name of Jesus Christ. Peace and rest to her in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord God. Thank you, Lord God. Thank you, Lord God. Lord, if there's anything else you want us to do concerning this, we just want to obey you. Hallelujah. These are your children, Lord God. They're our brothers and sisters. They're our family. Hallelujah. And our desires for them to be strong and well in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 And also, and just so you both know, and for the church, if you need anything or you need, please let us know. Let us know. Hallelujah. Praise God. Your family. Amen? Hallelujah. And we need help. Ain't nothing bad about wanting help. If anybody's ever gone through life and didn't need help, I don't know who that was. I have no relationship with a person like that. I never met them. So everybody comes along and needs help. Hallelujah. And you need help? That's what a family's about. We're family. Hallelujah. 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 Glory to God. The word tells us that he's recovering. You know that? He's recovering. Hallelujah. He's recovering. Glory to God. He's recovering. Hallelujah, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus.